Welcome, everybody. Welcome to episode 304 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be continuing the series on God standards, world standards. This is going to be part three. Let us pray. Everlasting King of Glory, we thank you for this time in your presence. We're about to learn your word. May your spirit please fill us afresh, and may you please come and speak your word to us, and give us the grace to not just hear your word, but to practice your word. Give us the grace to be reproved and corrected by your word and to respond in obedience. Prepare our hearts to receive your word. Let our hearts not be hard, but let our hearts be amenable to your will. Let your word come forth and be a seed in our hearts, and may bring forth a great harvest of righteousness. And Lord, after all is said and done, may we be with you in heaven forever. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. So, if you remember from last time we had a conversation, we're talking about God standards, world standards. And I've been using the church in Smyrna as my backdrop for that. We know that this is a church that was heavily persecuted. And our anchor scripture thus far has been from Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Right? Revelation 2, verses 8 to 11. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it. But basically, this was a church that was heavily persecuted. But again, if you missed the other parts of the series 1 and 2, I would really, really encourage you to go back and take a listen to it. All right. So let's continue our series of dichotomies. If you notice, in talking about God standards, world standards, we've been using a series of dichotomies that have been very useful. So what's the next dichotomy we're going to discuss today? Is that according to God's standards, suffering is good. According to the world standards, suffering is bad. So God's standards say suffering is good. World standards say suffering is bad. Now, I want to preface this by saying the following. Don't think that Divine is one of these people that believes that, oh, you should always be suffering as a Christian. No. God actually satisfies his children with good things. Like, God wants you to live a good life. That's the truth. But part of the package of knowing God involves going through suffering. Part of the package in growing to be like Christ is going through suffering. If you look at, I believe, Hebrews chapter 12 or Hebrews chapter 13, if you start from the first verse, right? You know, it says, seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and that sin that so easily besets. And then let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now, here's the clincher. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is the person that we're trying to copy. Now, look at what the Bible says about him. He says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Right? So Jesus is having he's living a great life and everything, but hey, he had to endure some suffering, right? So the thing is, don't believe that, oh, my relationship with God is all based on suffering. No. But also, don't go to the other extreme, the prosperity gospel, that, hey, my relationship with God is all based on health, wealth, and prosperity. That's not how it works. So again, God's standard is suffering is good. As you're going to see, suffering does a lot of really good things in people's lives. But the world says that suffering is bad. So what are some of the good things that happen with suffering? Like, why do we suffer, right? What's the benefit of suffering? Why does God allow us to go through suffering? Well, I think the very first way we can discuss that is by looking at the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, and I'll read from verses 7 to 9. Hebrews 5, verses 7 to 9, right? It says, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Right? So suffering brings growth. I'm telling you this, some of the best growth you'll have in life comes from facing challenges. Right? Like, I remember when I was in college, my very first organic chemistry exam, I performed very poorly on it. Again, it was okay, but honestly, I performed poorly. That was probably like the lowest grade I ever got in college. And I remember after that, and I've probably shared this story on this podcast before, I think I got like 70 or 69, right? That was really, really low, like really, really low for me. And I remember, I think it was either a fall break or a spring break. I spent that entire week after that just working through tons and tons and tons and tons of organic chemistry questions. Honestly, after I did that, I never struggled with organic chemistry again. Thankfully, by the grace of God, I ended up getting an A in that class in OChem 1, got an A in OChem 2. And I did a lot of tutoring of organic chemistry all throughout my years in college. Organic chemistry now is probably like one of the best college subjects that I love because it just makes so much intuitive sense to me. But organic chemistry is not something that I would have grown to a level where I'm like, wow, okay, I feel like I have some degree of expertise in this subject. If I did not go through that suffering that I did, it's almost like that suffering was a good foundation for all the future growth that I had. Right. In fact, many people that knew me in college, they would never believe that, Divine, you got this kind of grade on an organic chemistry test. You won't believe it because my performance after that was like worlds different. But that suffering was the foundation for growth. Right. That suffering was the foundation for growth. To further buttress this point some more, I think I want to look at the book of James chapter 1. And I want to read verses 2 to 4. James 1 verses 2 to 4. Right. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But look at this. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's the thing. Don't be too quick to rush out of suffering. Let God's process run through in that midst of suffering, right? So a Christian life that is devoid of suffering, honestly, is a Christian life that is devoid of growth, right? Because and here's where the problem of the prosperity gospel comes, right? The prosperity gospel prepares people for an eternity that is literally outside of God, right? Because literally suffering is not a portion of that kind of gospel, right? See, do you want to become a fully baked Christian? A fully baked Christian, a person that grows to be a Christ follower, is literally made in the crucible of suffering. It's made in the crucible of suffering, right? Because the thing is, suffering is really good for removing that dross from your life so that the treasure that God has placed inside you can be revealed. In fact, I want to look at the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Verses 2 to 3. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. Right? Look at what he says. He says, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. This suffering purges. It purges you of dross. It purges you of things in your life that do not glorify the name of the Lord. The prodigal son would not have learned his lesson if he did not go through suffering, right? Think about it. Think of Apostle Paul, one of the greatest apostles that ever lived, right? Paul, he probably endured some of the greatest persecution as an apostle, but that persecution and suffering created somebody that was extremely pleasing to God. Right? In fact, let me tell you this, some of the most committed Christians you're going to find, they are people that have been raised in countries where serving Christ has some very dire consequences, right? And if you really think about it, what else does suffering do? Suffering can actually really help with bringing you back to God, with realigning you with God, right? Because if you think about the story of the Israelites, there's a lot in the Old Testament, right? You know, whenever they sinned, suffering was usually the thing that came right after, right? But once that suffering came, it made them remember their God, and then they come right back to God, right? Again, if you look at the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, Luke 15, 11 to 32, right? Again, that suffering brought him back to his father, right? So suffering is actually a very good tool for refocusing a person's priorities, right? It is like when you see a person that gets a diagnosis of a terminal illness, all of a sudden, all these fluff priorities just disappear from their lives. They know that, oh, I have very limited time left on this earth. I need to redeem the time. I need to be wise with the way I use my time, right? And one other thing that suffering actually does is it actually separates followers of Jesus Christ from fans of Jesus Christ, followers from fans. Let me tell you something right now. If you have the opportunity to read up this book I'm about to recommend to you, you should read it. This book, honestly, changed the way I view my relationship with God. The name of the book is called Not a Fan. Not a Fan by a guy known as Kyle Eidelman. Kyle Eidelman, Not a Fan. I read this book a few months ago, and oh my goodness, this book literally transformed my life, right? But I will encourage you to read that book if you can, right? But basically, and you'll see why with some of the context I'm going to give here. But basically, suffering is a good way to separate a follower of Christ from a fan of Christ, right? If you look at the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and literally that entire, this book I'm recommending, I'm not getting any reward or anything from anybody for this. The book is just genuine. I've never spoken to this person even. But this book is genuinely great. Honestly, you really should listen to it. But it's based on this verse, Luke 9, 23. Then he said to them all, again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, right? Take up his cross daily and follow me, right? The thing is, suffering separates followers of Jesus Christ from fans of Jesus Christ, right? It literally provides, suffering is a good way to provide insight. Like, wait, where do you stand with God? Like, literally, why are you in a relationship with God? Are you in a relationship with God because you love him? Or are you in a relationship with God because of the benefits, right? Is your relationship with God conditional on the blessings that you're going to get from him alone, right? Because think about it, Jesus died for us unconditionally. In fact, if we look at the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Literally, we're still sinners. Jesus did not die for us because we were sinless. He actually died for us while we were still sinners. He loved us. He loves us unconditionally, right? Because if you really think about it, like if you look at a marriage, suffering in a marriage is a really good way of testing the motivation of the members of that marriage, you know? Because people can take marital vows all they want. If those marital vows meant absolutely everything to people, you know, the divorce rate may not be as high as you'd expect in the world we live in today, right? Trials in a marriage will reveal, hey, who is a true lover? Who is a follower? Versus, hey, who's a gold digger? Who's a fan? Who's a person that loves the idea of marriage, but is not fully committed to the reality of marriage, right? So again, suffering is a very, very good way to separate a follower of Christ from a fan of Christ. Right. In fact, if you look at the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 8 to 11, Job 1, verses 8 to 11. Right. Look at this discussion between God and Satan. He says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man. One who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Right? Literally, this is the devil essentially throwing a challenge to God, right? Think about this. When there is literally nothing left and suffering is abounding, will you still serve God? Literally, will you still serve God? When you are in Paul's shoes and your prayers are not being answered, there's a part of the Bible where Paul was sick and he asked the Lord three times to heal him and God did not heal him. Will you start throwing tantrums in your walk with God? Right? The thing is, see, a hero of faith literally trusts God regardless of surrounding circumstances, right? In fact, we can see some more about this in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13, right? It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, right? So the thing is, people that draw back when these people, they did not even receive the promises, but they kept trusting God. They kept being followers of Christ, right? But you see, people that draw back when things get tough, these are fans of Christ. They are not followers of Christ. There are many people that say that prayer of salvation because it makes them feel good. They want to be able to go out on social media and say, I have committed my life to Jesus. But that commitment is conditional. When the times get tough, when the going gets rough, is that commitment still there? to finally buttress this point, just to again kind of lay this issue to rest, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, verse 38, he says, "Now the just shall live by faith, trusting God, despite what's going on around you. But if anyone draws back," I added that extra commentary, "but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Right? So again, the world says suffering is bad, but God says suffering is good. Right? And the thing is, I'll just tell you this, that when you're going through suffering, just as a sidebar, remain faithful. That's the way you're supposed to respond to suffering. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of suffering, right? Literally, the world standard is fear of suffering. People will literally do everything to alleviate suffering. But see, don't be afraid of suffering. If you look at this church in Smyrna, God was saying that, hey, there's this extra persecution that's coming your way, but don't be afraid of it. Right? Don't be afraid of it. Literally, fear not. It's a charge from the Lord. Right? It's a charge from the Lord. In fact, let's look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation. Again, I like being in the Word because it's a very good way to buttress these points. So that it's also not, I want you to see from Scripture exactly what the Bible is saying. Right? He says, "And they overcame him." So Revelation 12, verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." They did not love their lives to the death, right? They did not love their lives to the death. According to God's standards, be willing to give up your life for his sake. According to the world standard, love your life. Have you noticed that self-love is such a big concept in the world we live in today, right? Fear not is what the Lord is telling us in the midst of suffering, right? Because here's the thing, fear is a very powerful paralytic. But don't forget that the Lord is with you. Right? And the thing is, many of us, we've not even been persecuted to the point of shedding our blood. But we let our lives literally be ruled by fear. Right? In fact, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll read from verses 1 to 4. Right? Hebrews 12, 1 to 4. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." But look at this. Verse 3. "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Right? So some of us have not, as the Bible is saying, some of us have not even shed our blood in persecution, in the realm of persecution, right? But we're letting our lives be ruled by fear, right? Let me ask you this. Are you willing to die for your faith? Do you compromise your faith on the altar of a job promotion, on the altar of money? See, I'm telling you this. As a Christ follower, you actually need to learn to be more tolerant of suffering. And I know I'm saying this as if it sounds easy. It's not easy at all. Nobody wants suffering. Nobody wants it, right? But there's the help of the Holy Spirit and there's the grace of God to help you, right? There's the grace of God to help you, right? Because see, a person that truly wants to serve God, you cannot love your life. See, let's explain this from the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, right? He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Like literally, I've been crucified with Christ. So I'm alive. You may see me walking and moving about, but it's not me that is living anymore. It's Christ that is alive in me, right? It's Christ that is alive in me. Because let me ask you this. Can a dead man be afraid? No, right? Can a dead man be afraid? Literally, no. A dead man is not afraid. That's how you need to see yourself as a Christian. In fact, my mentor told me this a few weeks ago, that you need to basically live as a dead man walking, right? As a dead man walking, not afraid of fear. Because I'm telling you this, if you let fear control your life, there are many things that you will not do in your relationship with God. You will not serve God acceptably. Right? Because if you think about it, if you even extend this to the church of God, out of here, the church of God has kept silent while the devil has literally operated in free reign and expanded his reach all over the land. Right? Think of the German church back in the time of Adolf Hitler. They did not speak out against the atrocities that were happening, right? So see, brethren, let me tell you this. The fact that a problem is not getting to you does not mean you should keep silent in fear. Do not let fear rule your life. I'm telling you this. If you look at the world we live in today, right? Again, world standards. Fear is like a ruler these days in the world we live in today. Many people's lives are absolutely ruled by fear. But according to God's standards, your life should be ruled by what? By faith. According to God's standards, your life should be ruled by faith. According to the world's standards, your life should be ruled by fear. If you watch TV, that's why I don't watch as much TV anymore, except some select programs, right? It's all fear-mongering. You go on social media, fear-mongering, right? See, let me tell you this. The fact that a problem is not getting to you doesn't mean you should keep silent in fear. Do not let fear rule your life, right? In fact, remember what Mordecai told Esther. Again, I know this podcast is running a little long, and we're going to be done here soon, but I just want to really talk about this world standard of fear and suffering versus God's standard of fear / faith and suffering, right? Let's look at the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4, and I'll read from verses 12 to 14. Esther 4 verses 12 to 14 says, so they told Mordecai Esther's words, right? This was when they were about to destroy the Israelites, you know, because of Haman and whatnot. You can read the story really, really well in the book of Esther. But look at what Mordecai said, verse 13. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent, silence is what happens when you're afraid, when you don't speak up. If you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, right? So don't let fear rule your life like it rules the lives of many in the world, right? We're called to speak up, even if repercussions may come. See, by speaking up, you're literally being a witness for Christ, right? And let me tell you this, folks. Moments of persecution, they are some of the greatest moments for evangelism. Remember Stephen, right? He was about to be stoned to death, and he spent a lot of time telling about Christ, telling about the word of God, right? Look at the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were being heavily persecuted, but it was a wonderful time for phenomenal press for the kingdom of God, right? So please, folks, don't love your life so much that you don't speak up. Don't let your life be so ruled by fear, right? And one thing that you may think that, oh man, Stephen, he was stoned and he died. Man, what was the point of all of the suffering of Stephen? Let's look at the book of Acts chapter 7, actually. Let's look at verse 58. Let's look at verse 58. Again, if you want to get more context on Stephen, you can read the entire Acts chapter 7. But let's, for the sake of time, let's just look at verse 58. Look at this. And they cast him out of the city. So this is referring to Stephen. And stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named who? Named who? Saul. This is the person that became the apostle Paul. So I wonder, was it the witness of Stephen that sowed that first seed in Paul's heart that got him started in being converted to serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Who knows? Yes, he met the Lord Jesus on the way to Damascus, but he had just seen a great witness for Christ from Stephen, right? From Stephen. Paul, you know, currently called Saul in Acts 7:58, was one of the people that were in the crowd when Stephen was giving his testimony, when Stephen was giving his witness and was about to be stoned to death, right? And again, just remember that, hey, suffering is finite. It's not forever. It's not forever. It's literally not forever. This church in Smyrna, the Lord told them that, hey, your suffering is going to be for 10 days, right? You may notice I'm spending so much time on suffering and faith and fear, because this is probably one of the most important dichotomies you need to understand about God's standards versus world standards, right? This suffering is not forever. It's literally not forever. In fact, if you look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 10, right? He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, look at this, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered what? A while, it's not forever, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So when you're done going through suffering, you'll be perfected, you'll be established, you'll be strengthened, and you'll be settled. You will be settled, right? So suffering is not forever, it's for a little while. There is a reward at the end, right? There's a reward at the end. There's a reward at the end. So please, we've heard the word of God today. I will encourage you. And this, I think, should be the end of this series. But really, 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 I will encourage you. Whenever you're doing things, ask yourself, what is God's standard on this thing, right? The world says, hey, same-sex marriage is okay. God says marriage is between a man and a woman, right? The world says many things. God says different things, right? So again, ask yourself, what standards are you aligning yourself with, right? Again, you may get some flack. In fact, it's not you may. You will get some flack for standing with God, right? And you will get agreement when you stand with the world. But remember the Bible verse that says, do not fear him who can destroy the body alone. That's the world. Rather, fear him that can destroy both body and soul in the fire of hell. That's God, right? So again, today I'm placing a choice before you. Whose standard do you want to follow? Who are you going to believe? Are you going to go with the world's system? Or are you going to go with God's system, right? What system are you going to go with, right? Are you going to take that narrow way that leads to life? Or are you going to take that broad way that many people follow that leads to destruction? Again, as the Bible says, I have placed before you today life and death. I'm encouraging you to choose life that you may live, but it is your decision. God does not force himself on people, right? It's just like the salvation decision. It's a decision that I will encourage you to make, but it's not by force. God does not force you to make decisions, right? If you want to make that salvation decision and you want to understand your options and understand why you need a savior, listen to episodes 254 and 287 on the website, 254 and 287. At the end of 254, if you've counted the cost and you make a decision for Christ, there is an opportunity to say a prayer to commit your life to the Lord. If you do make that decision, I'll encourage you to listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website, 96 to 101. It's titled The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It tells you specific things you can do so you can grow your walk with Christ. But again, I'm just encouraging you, like, consider the standard that you're following. What standard are you chasing after? Because again, in more ways than one, it will determine the ultimate outcome of your life. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word we have heard. Thank you for teaching us from your word and your truth today. Give us the grace to not just be hearers only, but also doers. Give us the grace to align ourselves with your standards and not the standards of the world. Please help us by your sweet Holy Spirit to endure suffering. And give us the grace to obey you and not to throw in the towel and not to be afraid to speak up. Please have your way in our lives today and in our families and in all that we do. And let this word be a witness for us and not against us on the day of judgment. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. So thank you for listening to me today. I will see you in episode 305. We'll probably begin a new series then if the Lord tarries. So have a wonderful day. God bless you. Bye for now. Shalom.